I do not therefore think that any man's absurdities, irregularities, inconsistencies, or crimes are in any sense chargeable upon the doctrine which I advocate. The more precious the coin, the more desirable the counterfeit to a wicked man. That the blessed doctrine of being kept from all sin by faith in Christ will be counterfeited by unholy men for licentious purposes, I have not a doubt. But shall I therefore cast away the coin, the most precious that ever fell down to lost man, from the exhaustless mint of heaven? No, my brother, the word of God assures me that my Redeemer was called Jesus because he should save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. That he was manifested to take away our sins, and that whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. 1 John 3:5-6. And to that Savior I must cleave as with the grasp of death, for I see a moment's safety nowhere but under the shadow of his wing. I will therefore say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wing I trust. His truth, in the fulfillment of his own exceeding great and precious promises, shall be my shield and buckler. Psalm 91:1-4. And now, brother, I believe that there are those who do embrace this great salvation fully, so that their characters are formed by it. And who can say, the life that I live here in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. And I do believe that they are not only decidedly, but eminently more meek and heavenly than any other class of men. I ought here to say, however, that nothing in my apprehension is holiness, which falls short of the fulfillment of that promise, the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Deuteronomy 30:6. The child of God is not in my apprehension a whited sepulchre. Matthew 23:27. Holiness is the righteousness of the law fulfilled in us. Romans 8:4. With any view of sanctification which does not make it consist in loving God with all the heart and our neighbor as ourselves, I have no fellowship. If a man expresses to me his belief that through the operations of the Holy Spirit upon his heart, received by faith in Christ for the fulfillment of God's promises, he is enabled to love God with all his heart and his neighbor as himself, Luke 10:27. Inasmuch as I know that God has promised to circumcise his heart, to love the Lord his God with all his heart and with all his soul, I have no right to doubt that the promises of God are thus fulfilled in him. Unless I see that in his life he does depart from the right way of the Lord, as it is revealed in his holy word. But to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not or act not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8:20. I am fully aware, however, that there are those who claim to be perfect in Christ Jesus, Colossians 1:28, who do fall into gross mistakes in this very point, and in this way do, in a very grievous manner, cause the way of truth to be evil spoken of, Romans 14:6. By laying aside the plain written word of God as the rule, and the only rule by which they are to govern their faith, and try their feelings, and form their opinions, and shape all their conduct, and take up the belief that the Holy Spirit so dwells in them that they need not resort to the Bible as their only guide, but may follow whatever impulse arises within them, they step at once on the broad ground of fanaticism, and become what Christ would have been if he had, at the suggestion of Satan, thrown himself from the pinnacle of the temple, tempters of God. While God has promised me in his word everything requisite to meet all the real necessities of my being, even to the full accomplishment of my highest good, both on earth and in heaven, he has nowhere given me license to transgress either his physical or moral laws, with the expectation that he will meet a necessity that I thus presumptuously create. If I were to leap from an eminence with the expectation that God would save me from death by counteracting the law of gravitation, or by giving me wings, or if I were voluntarily to abstain from food with the expectation that God would preserve my life without eating, or venture to sea in a leaky ship with the confidence that God would save me from a watery grave, I should be tempting God by a willful transgression of physical law. I have no right to expect any miraculous assurance beforehand, as he did to Moses, that he will be with me in a miraculous manner. No more am I to transgress moral precepts by casting myself into the way of temptation unnecessarily, thinking that God will there keep me from being overcome, or by doing an act which God's word plainly forbids, through the presumption that the Holy Spirit guides me to it, and that it, therefore, is not sin. I know there are those who have ventured on this ground, and by so doing have brought amazing reproach on Christ and his cause. I am not to believe every spirit, but to try the spirits whether they be of God, 1 John 4:1. But by what rule am I to try every spirit? Plainly, by the revealed word. I have no other rule, and I need no other. If I feel an impulse, then to do a thing contrary to the plain word of God, I need not mistake the source from whence such an impulse comes. I know the devil is the originator of such an impulse, just as infallibly as though I were to see his snaky head, or his forked tongue, or his glaring eyes, or hear the hissings of his hellish throat. I know there are those who are accustomed to say, whatever the Lord should tell me, I would do. But I know the Lord will never tell them to do a thing contrary to the Bible. And when led to anything of this sort, they are surely led by Satan. Besides, I do not expect to influence the conduct of my fellow men unless I can show them good and sufficient reasons for the course I wish them to pursue. Much more may I expect that where the Holy Ghost would lead me, he will show me the best of reasons for following him, and for these reasons I am to look into that word which he has inspired. From this very error of following impulses instead of the word of God have grown up much of the inconsistencies, and in some cases, as I do not doubt, licentious practices of some called perfectionists. Instead of cleaving closely to the word of God, making it their only rule of life, writing it on their hearts, and setting it always as a frontlet between their eyes, Deuteronomy 6:8, they have imbibed the idea that the Holy Spirit so dwells in them as to be an infallible guide, without any reference to God's plainly revealed will. And when a man steps on that ground, he may well expect, like him who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, to find himself wounded, stripped of his raiment, and left, at least, half dead. He throws himself defenseless among mortal foes, for the word of God should be to him sword and shield. He might as well cast away rudder and compass and chart and quadrant and chronometer in mid-ocean, and expect God to guide him to his desired haven, or as well, wandering among pitfalls in black midnight, cast away his oil lamp, and think to walk safely by faith. The Holy Spirit has indeed been given to guide us into all truth, but all the truth we need to know is in the Bible, and all the guidance we need is to a right understanding and practice of what the Bible contains. But when God has plainly revealed to me that he is ready to sprinkle clean water upon me, and make me clean from all my filthiness, and from all my idols to cleanse me, and to save me from all my uncleanness, Ezekiel 36:25-29, when I inquire of him to do it for me, and when he has sworn that he will grant unto me, that I, being delivered out of the hand of my enemies, may serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of my life, and has raised up Christ, a horn of salvation for me, to perform that covenant and oath, Luke 1:74, 75, 69, 72, and 73. and has assured me that all the promises of God in Christ are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by me. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Do I follow impulses and not the Bible? When I fully trust in Christ, that these promises and his oath of God will be fulfilled to me for Christ's sake? Can I be in danger of going astray by thus cleaving to my own horn of salvation, whom God has raised up for me, and by just trusting in him that he will perform in me the very thing that he came to do? On this point, my brother, my heart is oppressed and labors for words to express its gushing emotions. I seem to myself to be standing in a position whence two ways diverge. In the one I see a class of persons walking who cry out, "Away with the Sabbath days, ordinances, and the written word of God! Away with all the laws and rules of conduct, both human and divine! We need no law, no rule of faith or practice, no means of grace, no private devotion and communion with our Father in secret, no domestic altars, no earnest wrestling prayer and faithful persevering effort to convert a lost world to God. We dwell in Christ, and he in us, and therefore we cannot sin, and whatever impulse we feel, we know to be influenced of the Holy Ghost, who cannot err, and we may therefore safely follow wherever such an influence leads. In the ears of such I would cry out at the top of my voice, "Danger, danger, danger, beware, beware! Go not in such a path. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away." Here are the class of men called perfectionists. Can I walk with them upon such ground? Not a hair's breadth. So far from forsaking the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, my Bible tells me to submit myself to every ordinance of man, even for the Lord's sake. 1 Peter 2:13. That the powers that be are ordained of God, and that whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. Romans 13:1-2. With such men on such subjects I can have no sympathy. I believe that there are some truly converted souls who fall into these errors and are dreadfully led astray. I believe that others take up these notions, in whose hearts no fear of God ever for a moment had a place, and follow them out into all manner of licentiousness and criminal excess. Such become the most perfect and accomplished servants of Satan that he ever raises up to do his work. I cannot conceive that the arch-deceiver can never originate a worse set of principles than these. I could as soon sympathize with any form of infidelity that ever cursed the earth. But on the other hand, and in the other path, I see a multitude of professed believers walking, who through fear of going astray, dare not believe God when he tells them, "I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols." Ezekiel 36:25. And when he swears to them that he will grant unto them that they, being delivered out of the hand of their enemies, may serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of their life. Luke 1:74-75. Can I sympathize with the unbelief of such? I believe that it is their privilege, and my privilege, so to abide in Christ that we sin not. 1 John 3:6. That the work of such righteousness is peace, the effect of such righteousness quietness and assurance forever, and that all who thus believe in Christ may find in him a peaceful habitation, a sure dwelling, a quiet resting place. Isaiah 32:17-18. I long to have God's people know and enjoy their high privilege of thus abiding in Christ. For I fully believe that it will redound in the highest degree to God's honor and their good. This view of sanctification, I claim, has nothing to do with the essential element of what is termed perfectionism. Their name and their principles I utterly disavow, and declare to the world that no man has a right to charge them upon me. But when I look around upon the professed followers of my Savior and see how little they know, apparently, and how little they seem to enjoy of this great salvation of our God, I feel like lifting the prayer, "Every weary, wandering spirit, guide into thy perfect peace." And when I see how many, bearing the name of Christ, seem wandering among doubts and fears, and groping in thick darkness at noonday, falling before spiritual enemies whom they know not how to vanquish, and weeping over repeated commissions of sin which they know not how to overcome, I long to say to such, "Watchman, let thy wanderings cease. Hie thee to thy quiet home. Traveler, lo, the Prince of Peace, lo, the Son of God is come. Look no longer, like scattered, unbelieving Israel, for a Savior yet to come. Say with believing Zacharias, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us, to perform his promised mercy, his covenant, his oath, to deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and to grant unto us that we may serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life.'" Luke chapter 1, verses 68 and 69, and verses 72 and 75. You ask me finally concerning myself. Here, dear brother, I speak with unfeigned diffidence. I love to look at my Savior and to hold him forth in all his fullness to my needy, perishing fellow men. But in myself, aside from what the grace of God has done and shall do for me, I find nothing but dark and perfect lineaments of Beelzebub, the prince of devils. I speak sincerely, my brother. I know that if God should withdraw his grace from me and leave me to myself, there is not a sin within reach of my powers which I would not instantly commit and practice forever. And now, having told you what I think of myself, to my own shame, permit me to tell you what I think of the grace of God, to his praise. God has promised to dwell in me, and walk in me, and be my God, 2 Corinthians 6:16. And this I consider a pledge of every possible good which he can give me. Having therefore such promises, I expect by trusting in Christ that they will be fulfilled to me for his sake, to be cleansed from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and to perfect holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1. My God has sworn that he will grant me that I, being delivered out of the hand of my enemies, may serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of my life. And he has raised up Jesus Christ to be my horn of salvation, to perform to me this mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, this oath which he sware. I do therefore expect, through the strength and faithfulness of my Lord Jesus Christ, in performing to me this holy covenant and oath of God, to be delivered out of the hand of my enemies, and to serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of my life. I expect that he, according to his own promise, will be faithful to sanctify me wholly, and to preserve my whole spirit and soul and body blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In myself I am nothing but a miserable, lost sinner, but in my Savior dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and he has made me complete in him. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. I therefore expect to abide in him, and whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. 1 John 3:6. And now, my brother, as to what I expect to preach, I have only to say that I expect to uncover to my fellow man just so far and just so long as my God shall enable me this fountain which has been opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. Zechariah 13:1. I expect to do all in my power to make my fellow men acquainted with the holy covenant of our God, and the oath which he sware, that he will grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, may serve him without fear all the days of our lives, and that Christ is our horn of salvation. Luke chapter 1, verses 72 to 75, and verse 69. To perform this covenant, this oath of a covenant-keeping God, that his and every promise of God is yea and amen in Christ, unto the glory of God by us, 2 Corinthians 1:20, that he who hath called them is faithful, to sanctify them wholly, and to preserve their whole spirit and soul and body blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, that Christ gave himself for us, that he might sanctify and cleanse us with a washing of water by the word, that he might present us to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that we should be holy and without blemish, Ephesians 5:25-27, and that they have only, like Paul, to believe God that it shall be even as it was told them, Acts 27:25, and like Abraham, to stagger not at the promise of God through unbelief, but to be strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that that which God hath promised, he is able also to perform, Romans 4:20-21, and like Sarah, to judge him faithful that hath promised, Hebrews 11:11, and by placing this confidence in their Savior, they shall so receive the fulfillment of God's exceeding great and precious promises as to become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, 2 Peter 1:4, that having these promises and this faith in Christ for their fulfillment, they shall cleanse themselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and perfecting holiness in the fear of God, 2 Corinthians 7:1. This, my brother, I regard as the glory, the crowning excellency of the gospel, the brightest star in the whole firmament of revealed truth. And with my Savior's permission, I expect to point my fellow men to this day star of hope, until the hand that points them is given to the worms. It is, to my soul, a fountain of living waters, a wellspring of life, and I expect to say to my fellow men, Ho! Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price, Isaiah 55:1. And cease not until the lips that are allowed the high privilege of uttering such an invitation can speak no more. And now, my dear brother, you have my whole heart laid open, without reserve, and to God I commit myself, and his truth, and the cause of the Savior dearer to me than life. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling, and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Jude 24:25. Your servant in the gospel, Charles Fitch.